The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Sarinam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Sarinam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Sarinam Gacchami, Nidutiyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hirdaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By the compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take back which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings, dutyampi tatyampi sabaha, again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are
here and suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create an inflamed beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this one? Susan.
Well, I'll look at something that I think is pretty. So I watch this way, this thing that goes on all the time, but I'll just talk about parenting, where I vacillate between the really nice, bend over backwards, be attentive, but you gotta respond, you know, it's what's been, but you're manipulating, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's not being here.
There's kind of a belief that if I'm really nice and attentive to you,
right,
then you'll do what I want.
Exactly.
So that's kind of, I'm guessing you're saying that's one side of the
deal. That's one side of the deal. The other side is, if you don't, I'm gonna flip to force, you know,
uh-huh,
like some kind of yelling, but neither one work, of course.
Yeah.
So
I try to be this nice person.
Right.
And, well, so now I have to.
Yeah. You have made me,
yeah,
by your inability to comply. You know, so sort of, and then there's this other thing, justification, rationalization. So that I'm go unconscious because I'm right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Hello.
Exactly. And I was listening to some old recordings. Someone suggested I do that. And it's amazing how much I looked at right. Really? 2 years ago, I was looking at right in that same way that I was looking at it last week or whatever. You know, that addiction to right, to if I just... I'm doing it right.
Yeah, it tends to be popular.
It's popular
among us humans. Yeah, and like you said, it pretty much, I mean, it seems like one of the payoffs is it justifies our behavior.
Right, which keeps the identity in place.
It keeps the identity in place. That's
yeah,
the big payoff.
That's the big payoff.
Yeah.
I've watched how it just keeps that I don't have to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have to look because, you know, I'm right and they're behaving poorly and, you know,
mm-hmm,
I've behaved poorly because they're behaving poorly. Although it doesn't feel good to behave poorly.
Yeah, like you said, it actually, neither one works.
Neither one works.
And kind of both probably make us feel not great.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's my story. So my 15 and a half year old took his very first on-the-road driving class yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I have not laughed this hard in a long time. So first
of all...
Were
you in the car with
him? No, but I was dropping it off, and you know how the time changed?
Oh, yeah.
It was a later time, so it's going to be... You know, first time on the road. In California, you can't get on the road with your parent until you've taken this first class.
I see.
After you've taken the written thing. Anyway, so... But I also have been having some trouble, and I'm going to have to set some rules with this 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So we're driving, and I can to the event.
Uh-huh.
And I can see...
And he's about to have his test.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's about to get in the car
in the
for
car.
2 hours at night.
Got it.
First time on the road. So I can see he's actually disidentified. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, there he is! The son that I just... So I said, well, David, you want something to distract you from your worry? Because he was really worried. He said, sure. I said, well, you're not going to like what I have to say. I said, but I'm comparing some limiting your screen time rules. And he's like, oh, fine. You know,
anything.
And so it was just fascinating. So then he goes and he does it and I pick him up and he is just, the energy is just coursing through his body, you know. And he would, I just have not seen him that present. Since they make that, we all, they, when I say night, but, you know, they're like that until about 11, 12. We make that become self-conscious, developmental thing that we all make, I guess. But anyway, so he is just hilarious. You know, he's laughing and he's, the guy was short like he was, is the guy teaching. He's like, that's going to be me in 60 years. You know, he's a little calm. My son's calm by nature. And so he's like, yeah, because I was saying I'm going to put him in the car to drive. We all have to go somewhere, which is always a nightmare. I sit in the back seat between these two, hold my breath, right, and think. So I'm like, he's just going to drive. He's like, Mom, you're absolutely right. I will have no time. Nobody will bug me.
Yeah.
I guess what it feels like to him is he's going to die if he doesn't stay present behind the wheel.
Yeah, we see the stakes are high. When
right.
Maybe other times we don't even realize.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was, I mean, I didn't translate as much for him or anything, but I was paying attention for myself that, I mean, it's all a projection I'm creating, right? But when the stakes are that high, we all come right here.
Uh-huh. And we can do that.
And we can do that.
Yeah, anybody.
Anybody at any time.
Yeah.
The tricky part is, going back to my right thing, it's the comfort of my identity. So when I get on the road, I know how to do it now. I just go unconscious probably much, you know, yeah. Sort of.
Yeah.
You know,
like anything, when it's new, and especially something like driving,
right,
where boom, I have a big, heavy vehicle moving,
right,
there are other people involved.
Right.
But even with that, like you said, I mean, we can all relate to that, can't we? It's not new, oh, I know how to do this, and
right,
I can just get in the car and unconsciously.
So the trick sort of is, well, of course, life provides it all the time. It seems like those equivalent of the driving for the first time things, you know, but particularly for paying attention, that that it was fun to laugh and to get present again with him and to just be totally, I could go there, you know, I wasn't so much thinking of what he was doing, although I thought it was funny, but I could go right there with being alive and, you know, present,
yeah,
and that,
yeah,
when we're there, when I'm there, things don't bother me as much.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it with the birds outside, you know, that were chirping away as we were meditating, and then it kind of got quiet after a while, but I was so grateful because they kept me, you know, I would kind of go off, and then I'd hear them chirping away,
yeah,
like, come back, Susan!
life calling us, providing those opportunities, as you said, when we're looking for it constantly. So there you are with your son, and it's like, there's the presence, there's the laughter, and you can go right to that place of driving for the first time and being really alert.
Well, and in that place, so when I'm identified with these two parts, I'm really calculating what I do because I need it to impact something.
Uh-huh.
In some way. I'm not just sort of living, I don't think. I mean, I pay a little closer attention, but I think ego always has a thing. It's trying to...
Yeah, kind of an agenda.
Yeah,
calculating. Okay. It's kind of like over here.
Okay, if I get this done, then I'll have time for this, and then, you know, or if I get this way with this person, they'll be really... They'll get the chores, and then I can... But there's never just a... Well, I mean, not never, but in that other place, there's a big laughter.
Uh-huh.
And also like...
What a contrast, right?
Yes, and the confidence, because I have been somewhat nervous about implementing these new rules that I just see. It's time. You know, I can't be the wimp mom anymore, and I can't try and use reasoning and get him to do it my way, because he's not. He doesn't see it like I see it.
Well, and you could, but it sounds like you...
Right.
Like all of us, we try it, and then, okay, fine. I'll try something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And so it could be this disidentifying. Mm-hmm. So I was joking with him. I said, well, Dad and I are going to meet about this plan. And I said, and then we're going to take you driving. You're going to drive. I'm going to read you the new rules. Who knows if he'll be disidentifying, but I will be. I don't know, you know, just a trick. It's sometimes fun to play tricks on ego because it swoops in. You know, I've just been watching how it just takes over in this kind of subtle way that I sometimes miss.
Right, yeah, right, for all of us, right? Because it's been doing this for a long time, and it's got all the subtle ways. And like you said, we kind of lulled into it because it feels like it's comfortable for us. I think what you're saying is it's comfortable for it. It's uncomfortable for us eventually, right? As you
right.
say, we get into these places of suffering. So it's like, oh, well, how about we try some, why don't we flip the switch on ego? Let's experiment a little bit.
Yeah, because when I think of comfortable, it's telling me it's going to make me real comfortable.
Yeah.
But what I know, like with the driving thing, is if I'm sitting in the back seat with a new driver, I'm going to be really uncomfortable and present.
Uh-huh.
So there's no time to try and make it all right. Well, David, here's the rules. Okay, done. Get me home. You know, there's kind of that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. Except ego tells me, well, if you're really nice and you just approach it this way, then he's going to be understanding and say, sure, Mom, it makes sense to me. Right.
Yeah.
But of course it doesn't.
Yeah.
And there's the flip to the
maybe
other
this
side.
Time,
it should. Yeah, it's always this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Despite all the evidence.
Despite all the evidence.
Yeah.
Every time it's probably out. Well, this time, you know, just sleep in a little one. You'll have plenty of time for meditation because, you know, you're up early and then it's not up early because I've fallen back asleep. And
yeah.
It just does that with every...
Yeah. Well, what I'm struck by is how clear you are about the process, about the duality, about the language on both sides, and you know that for yourself, right? So here you're going to give these screen rules, and you know that this or in other situations you're likely to go into one of those places on the duality. So what can I do, given that I know I tend to go to unconsciousness or listen to ego in these places? How can I get here first and then do that?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we're always doing. First get here and then kind of enter these places. So, okay, what helps me get here? Well, being on the road with my new blue driving son. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
see.
Exactly. We'll see.
Yeah, we don't know.
It's all,
I could
just
like
everything
to
else. We're just,
you know,
experimenting.
We're just experimenting. I think talking the process out loud too, as you reflected, I do that sometimes. So got these rules to give. I notice on one hand, I really hope you just say, Mom, you're the best mom in the world. Those are awesome rules.
Thank
you for caring so much about my addiction to screens. You're right.
I'm just looking out for my health and well-being.
Oh, no, no, exactly.
Yeah, maybe in 30 years, I'll get
But I notice if I say that out loud, and then I say, and I notice if I don't, if you don't say that, then I'm going to get really mad, and I'm going to, like, say, you know, I'm going to tell you all the things I've always let you do forever, and I've been a good mom, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and you're going to see.
So just hearing that out loud is really helpful.
Yes. And remembering that when all else fails, I could actually just start saying that out loud.
What your actual process is in the moment.
Rather than living out of the process and saying those things. Thank you, Mom, is what you're saying.
What a difference, right? Saying the process out loud as it's going on rather than acting out the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that disidentification you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. I love it because we're always working on that, getting here, disidentifying, and you're giving us like multiple ways to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Say a prayer.
And then we'll talk about the prayer.
Yeah.
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 So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
That's great. I could just, as we all can so identify the beginning it right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the email class on death and dying, I've just been loving that class.
Mm-hmm.
And we had homework about looking at what it is that's we've been procrastinating about or what might be undone, you know, if we knew we were really going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Instead of this made up, yeah. Like, you know, like we're really going to die, but you know how it goes.
But really, like, I'm acting like I'm going to live forever.
Really,
do this
but maybe someday, but it sure happens to everybody else, but not me.
But not me,
you know.
Yeah,
somehow I got a free pass here.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all, I mean, sort of like all today from my own experience. I know that we're going to die.
Yeah.
I don't actually live that way. I'm not in touch with that.
Right. Just not in touch with it.
A real belief. I'm going to live forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Really.
No evidence.
No evidence.
The contrary.
That,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah. I can, anyway, I remember as a younger person just like, really, you know, I was sure I was going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way not to die.
Right.
You know, it was just going to be.
Yeah. Which makes sense for a kid,
exactly. You know, all those old people, they're just like, they don't have it right. You know, and I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. So, I was looking at what it is that's left undone, you know, and first of all, it went to, well, you know, okay, so this is going to be a big deal. I got to look at all of it because God knows I am a procrastinator, you know. So I got to, you know, what are all these things that I've been putting off, you know, that I got to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh my gosh, it just, I just saw so clearly in a very transformative way that the thing I've been putting off is being present to this life.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That is the only thing.
That's it.
That is the only thing that's going to feel undone when I die, if I am not, like, haven't had the experience of being present to this human, to Sequoia's life, and her, and to what it is that she, you know, who she is, and what the world is like. Experience through this her, you know, what it's like for the feel the, you know, the breeze on her skin, and what it is that she needs, and what it is that, you know, and I just saw that, oh my gosh, that is what I just felt like being present to her and being present to that life experience is what, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just completes it for everything.
It just completes it for everything.
I don't.
And it's so simple.
It's not.
You know, it started off with, well, it's just going to take a long time, and we do procrastinate a lot, and then it just sounds like the opening happened, and it's like, the only thing undone is just to be present to this life. And then you just start going there to feel the wind on her, on my skin. And, and see, we just know that.
Yeah.
It's so clear in that place. Yeah. All that list of, no, just be here with her.
Yeah, and I, you know, the doorway into that, I think, was just I started thinking about all the people and that I, you know, come through my life, and it's like, oh God, I just really wanted to know I love them. And then I went, wait a minute.
Coming back.
There's no way that I can. I love them, and I've done everything I know to love them, you know, so that's not it, you know, it's here.
Yeah.
It's just here.
Yeah, you want to know that.
I want to know that.
That you're loved, and that you love you.
And so, it has shifted things quite a bit for, you know, just in a just really lovely way of my life, you know. Yeah, that's not, it's just, I don't know, just getting it that's the mission.
Yeah, I just projected it really, all those distractions, all the conversation.
Yeah.
I imagine, oh, I don't know, I just want to be here with her.
I want to be here with her.
It really highlights all that other stuff is kind of mumbo-jumbo to keep us from what we really have always wanted, I project.
Yeah, and being present, like it's just that, it all comes here. I don't know how to say that.
Yeah.
It's like, there's just
no need to go out there.
No need to go out there. And
it all comes to us when we're doing this in our presence.
And all those things that, all those standards, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
All those standards, you know, just trying to meet and trying to get it right. And, you know, like, you know.
Yeah, I guess
it's trying to get it right. It's going to get me present.
Well, that's kind of the TripAdvisor on it, huh?
Yeah.
If we just meet all the standards, if we get it right, then we'll have what we want.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is we can just bypass all that. That's actually a little bamboozle there.
Yeah.
And I can just come to right here in presence, and everything I've ever wanted comes to me in that place.
Yeah, and as you reflect on that, just remembering that, if I have to leave center to do it, you know, to complete any of that, it's not where it's at.
Yeah, which is also, I mean, it's a good practice reminder, uh-huh. right? Like, I think what you're saying is if I notice going out there trying to meet,
right.
quote this person's standard again, right, or whatever, those are all clues for me that I'm leaving here.
Yeah.
And my experience tells me that I think shares it in maybe multiple places in books, like, you know, we don't need to leave center for anyone or anything. Anything can come here, is invited, is welcome to come to us in center.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, gosh, what a good, it seems so, like right now, it seems so simple and clear.
I know.
But we lose track of that, right?
So frequently. It does, it seems so simple and clear, and it's so freeing.
Mm-hmm. It's so freeing.
It's just so freeing. It's like all that, you know, all those other phony destinations, you know, things that have to be done and out of it, they just kind of fall away.
Phony destinations, all these paths.
We've got to go down those paths, don't we? Right.
To realize, oh, those are phony.
Yep.
And how freeing it is to see, oh, we don't have to go down those paths anymore.
Right.
We know where it is that we want.
We know where it is that we want. And it doesn't matter it doesn't matter the age, how many years I've lived, where I find myself standing, or, you know, none of it matters. It's just like, if I can just get here with life, then it's, nothing's undone. Just feels like that, right?
Nothing's
undone.
Yeah, so all those other things that might say about age or, you know, you just are right there. None of that matters.
Yeah.
All I want to do is just get here. What a great recording.
Right. And as I say that too, then it's like, and then there's all this fun available too.
Yeah.
You know.
Life force is free.
Right. Yeah. It is, you know, doesn't mean I couldn't go to whatever exotic destination.
Because everything's available.
Everything's available, and then it's just, you know, it's just great fun.
No limitations.
No limitations at all.
Oof.
So anyway, it's great fun.
It's
great. Would have known a class
from the death and dying. Becomes great fun and freedom.
It's just always been.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you.
Penny? I'm having the same kind of experience, and what I was hearing and what was just being said was, you know, we think about death and life as somehow different and separate, but what was just being described was living.
Yeah.
You know? It's the same process.
It's the same process.
Same process. If you're really present. Like when I worked with in ministry, I was working with people with AIDS in the early years when most people did die, actually. And I remember above my desk, and I had this statement from Stephen Levine, which was, the only preparation for dying is being in the present. If we're here now, we'll be there then. And I was just hearing that, in that we somehow think that death is different from living.
Yeah.
But what's just being described about it's all the same process.
Yeah. I mean, I can even hear it just internally right now. I'm like, what? There's just such a conditioned process of separation.
Yeah.
But really, it's all one. All one process of living.
Yeah. And I was, what came up for me as what was just being spoken, and what came up for me with that question today was, I can't think of anything I want to get done. You know, I can't think of anything to answer that question with, particularly. And I was thinking about my mother's death and how clean it was. And my mother was a person who didn't have any particular practice or anything like that, but she was so, she was really so there around her death. And I remember that what was so clean about it was there was nothing unsaid. There was nothing that hadn't been expressed. There was no stuff that we had to clean up beforehand. And so we were just all able to be there with her.
Yeah.
And then she was alive and then she died, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's how, but that came up to me, that the stuff to take care of would be anything that needs to be just made clear with people.
Yeah.
And at the moment, nothing was coming up. But I just, it feels like, and the other thing that was when my dad died, he set up a whole set of financial arrangements so that when he died and then mom died, everything was clear. I guess clarity is the deal. And actually, my partner and I have done that too. We've done it for years. We, you know, all those durable powers up and the wills and all that kind of stuff, we got it. Because then, when he died, we just could be together around dad dying and mom dying and not around who gets what. Yeah, there was none of that crap.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's, you know, what was just being talked about and was rising for me too, was to clean out the crap.
Yeah.
Any crap we see,
yeah.
You know, and just make it as clean and clear as possible.
Yeah.
And that's how we will live.
Yeah, that's exactly the practice, isn't it?
We're
just cleaning up the crap, the karma.
Yeah.
Right? And living as clear and present as we can.
Yeah.
And if that's what we're doing, well, that's what we'll have.
Right.
And we'll be able to be at that place of, that's where we're actually just able to be with the person.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of pulled off into a bunch of things that would really maybe keep us from being.
And when we die, presumably we'll be there then too.
Yeah.
And after my mom died, I remember I had a cousin, just loved my mom. And I talked to him a few weeks later and he said, "Boy, I really miss your mom." And I didn't say this to him because he wouldn't have understood it, but I said, what was coming up for me was I don't. Mm-hmm. Because my sense was she just lived right into her death,
yeah.
And now she's doing whatever you do after that.
Yeah, she's right there.
And it didn't feel like she'd gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It didn't feel like that energy had really gone. It was somehow still out there. And
yeah.
I had no sense of having lost something.
Yeah,
it's so interesting.
In the poem in class, top of class 4, was that point.
Yeah.
That I haven't, you know, they're looking at the grave and I'm not there.
Yeah.
I'm not dead.
That's right.
I'm in the breeze.
Yeah.
I'm in the trees. I'm,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just one other thing that came up was, you know, we often use the idea that life is what animates us. And I remember one time I was in the park with my dog when we lived in San Francisco. And I was reading, and she was tied to the end of a bench, and there was this apparently kamikaze squirrel that suddenly ran right in front of her, and she got it.
Oh.
And shook it, you know, and I grabbed her, but the squirrel was sort of jumping around and then gone. And I remember thinking, how does that happen? I mean, literally, one minute it was all animation, and the next minute, whatever animated it, and that's the perfect word,
yeah,
was gone.
Yeah.
But what arose from me was, it had to go, I think it went somewhere. And that's the great mystery, you know? Where does it go? Because truly, we're animated by something, and then, insofar as this physical form is involved, it's gone.
Yeah.
But I absolutely believe it goes somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's just the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we can see that life. I mean, what an interesting process, isn't
yeah.
it? That life animating is such a perfect description.
Perfect description.
And we can see ourselves talking and moving. There's an animation of a form.
Yes.
And we know that at some point, that form will no longer contain that animation in that same way anyway.
That's right.
And the form dies and deteriorates.
Right.
And what if, I mean,
where does the animation go?
Where does the animation go? Yeah, we can see it, but it's in a person.
Yeah.
Or in an animal.
Yeah.
You know, but where does that go?
And I just got to figure it has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, all that life energy,
yeah.
All that energy must go into something else.
Yeah. What a great mystery.
What a great mystery, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a number of things from the conversation this morning. In the driving conversation, I was reminded of a dream I had just the other night.
Uh-huh.
It was one of those. I dream a lot, and sometimes the symbols of them just like hit me over the head. But in this one, I was on a flight, and we were taxiing, and you could, like, what was going on in the cockpit was being played over the loudspeaker.
Turn that off button.
And it was, they were training a pilot. Uh-huh. It was like, no, a little to the left. It was like, no, slow down. And you could feel the whole plane go like that. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, they're going to train that pilot on this flight? Like, during flight? Like, that just doesn't seem right. It's just one of those, like, do I say something? Do I not? Maybe. And then suddenly we were driving, like, through the terminal in the airplane, you know, stuff like that. I just thought of it with that, sitting in the back seat with a new driver.
Yeah, a couple hundred people in the back seat.
But just that sense of, like, being completely out of control.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, should I say something or not say something?
But actually, I was looking at the same assignment people are talking about, and it's been fascinating to see, because I was excited when I saw these, and I was like, okay, great, you know, well yeah, what are those things? Nothing. Nothing.
Wow.
They're just, I just keep looking. And so I've seen so much about that.
That there was this, oh good, and then you get to it, and then you see nothing.
And the nothing is not like, it doesn't feel like a, how do I describe it? In other words, nothing feels like the answer. It doesn't feel like there's nothing to see.
Yeah.
It feels like there isn't anything. Mm-hmm. That there's a trillion things I want to do. Mm-hmm. But nothing undone.
Nothing undone.
And that's one of the things that's been fascinating to me, is the juxtaposition of, I talk a lot about that place where one of the processes that conditioned mind attempts to torture me with is there's so much that's possible.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so, you know, at any given moment, right, the places
that
I put my attention at, you know, what, just walking around the property, what could be cared for, right? Uh-huh. Which, you know, and it's only through a lot of practice that I mostly don't get tortured by that. I mostly just have a great deal of fun that there is always something to put my attention on. And I love really, and I did really, that was helpful to see. Again, you know, I'm continuing to look. Maybe something will come up that's hiding. I don't know. But just that sense of, it doesn't feel like, oh, I really want to do this thing before, you know, before I die. And that's helpful to see in terms of, well, therefore, it really all is. It's just a playground of possibility.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
You know,
yeah.
So when it comes in to try to, oh, God, I got to do this. And I got to, no, I don't. You know, no, I don't.
Uh-huh.
Because if the bell rang right now, I could drop it, and that would be completely fine. Mm-hmm. So that really turns it from a process of, you know, pushing and overwhelm and all of that to just playing and enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's nothing that feels like it's undone that I have to do before I die. And the only way it sounds like I can kind of get you is that other side of it, which is there's so many possibilities. Mm-hmm. But now you can just see that really clearly. You can just enjoy that as a playground. Mm-hmm. And like, no, I don't have to do those things. I mean, if the bell, I mean, yeah, those are great. That sounds like fun. But if the bell rang,
that'd be fine.
I'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it would really be fine. That's the other thing that I've seen through the class is that some of those places of like, like writing your own, the eulogy was fabulous. That was super fun. Somehow the, what do you call it in the newspaper?
Obituary.
You know, choosing a date, so much superstition came up. You know, like, okay, I don't know how to actually choose a date, you know, which I did, and the date came and went, so that was good. But so I actually have no idea, you know, coming right up to it.
Well, we can.
You know, I mean, I look at that with Sadie sometimes where I feel like, you know, I know she's really old, and I know she, you know, just by the statistics of it and looking at her, she can't have, you know, a whole lot of time left, and that feels okay. I feel like I practice with that. Now, that may be completely different when the rubber hits the road. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of, and I can't have any idea, and I can't prepare for that. And,
exactly.
You know, that's, like, was just being talked about. the only cool preparation for that is just to be here now.
Yeah, you know? Which is great, because whatever happens, you'll be here now with
it. Either them.
Right? We're not going for a specific, okay, I'm going to be fine with it when it happens.
Yeah.
We're going for being present to whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just getting to look at that through this exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like it's invited up, because when I was looking at what are the things I want to do, you know, that would be fun to do, I feel like the place that they can get taken over is kind of along those, you know, making a mark on the world or making a difference or, you know, those sorts of things that come in.
Sure.
That feel like that would be where it gets turned into what I want to do before I die, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it just, again, it feels like one of the gifts of practice has been to really wear so much of that away. You know, I was looking at one project that I just, you know, it's just in the very tiny germinating stages, and I love it, and I don't know if it'll actually go anywhere, and the sense of, yeah, that, I would want to do that, and it's like, well, someone else could totally do that, you know, if I died.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, someone else could pick that up and run with it, you know?
Yeah.
So just that sense of, I don't know, I've been looking at, even in little tiny ways, what it is to, in the Epictetus thing that Sherry talks about a lot, we're looking at harmonizing, basically with, I think he talks about it as nature, but basically thy will be done. And I've been looking at what that is on a like micro moment by moment basis.
Mm-hmm.
Even things like going around the property and caring for things, there can be, it can look exactly the same, but one track is like, I have this agenda and this idea and I'm going to get through these things, which is actually completely different from on my way to such and such, I see that Dutta needs to get attended to. So it's like, well, why not attend to that? That's the one that's in front of me right here. Instead of some idea of, it's almost like this one over here that I thought up is mine.
Yeah.
So I want to do that
one. Oh,
whereas this one was put in front of me.
Yeah. No. But I have a plan, and it's going to go like,
so I'm not going to put that away because I, you know what? I didn't even leave it there. So, and if I'm not going to get anything from that, I'm not going to get the satisfaction that I'm going to get from taking care of this thing that was arbitrarily put on an imaginary list, you know? I mean, it's, so it's the exact same thing, like, you know, whatever, in these 5 minutes I'm going to pick up this thing and do this thing, or I'm going to pick up this thing and do this thing. But the process is completely different.
And to really, it sounds like, see that very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, those are tough, you know, that place of like, well, I want to make a difference. And well, of course, we all want to make a difference. You know, like, that seems very good to see where all that is coming from.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what a care for the human being, because, I mean, we all know that can get really taken over, that just as you detailed out.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this list, and those are the things I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in that place, it's always going to end up in suffering.
Yeah, this is control. This place over here.
Exactly the word. Yeah.
This is control. And the thing about it is that the reality is I'm controlled in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that. It feels like I'm in control.
Yeah, and you're doing good things.
But I'm being controlled.
You're being controlled. Yeah.
You know, whereas this other, you know, just taking care of what there is to take care of is so energy producing.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it takes a lot of calibration
there. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this place, the way the voices want to take over the place of just taking care of what's in front of me is the martyr place.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, I'll do that, and now I'll do that, because no one else will do that, so now I'll do that, and I'll do that, and I'll do that. Completely different, again, different process. Just hops it over to the other side of the reality.
Yeah, there's the conversation, taking that energy away, but if there's just something in front of us, there's the communication, there's the calibration, we just do it. There's no conversation.
And you know
what
else?
The energy from that.
The other thing that there isn't in it, as you say that, is there's no, the I doesn't get anything from it. There's no identity support in it, which is why it hates it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I even look at it in silly stuff, like, you know, that dance we talk about in meal cleanup, and that place where I swear, you know, just, one experience of it is just have my attention on this task until that task is finished, and literally within less than a second, look up and that attention is called to the next thing and take care of that till that's done, and then look up and the attention side. And I can watch that pause of, no, I'm not going to do that task.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to something else. Like, why?
Exactly.
Because I don't. There's nothing in cleanup that I don't want to do. There's no unpleasant job.
Exactly.
There's no thing that I don't like. So it literally is just ego making a stand. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, just for the sake of.
And you know what I notice?
Yeah.
Is it changes the flow. I swear to God, I don't know if I make it up, but it feels like when an ego does that, it slows things down.
Yeah.
It changes the deck. It completely, it's like a falter in the dance.
Yeah.
You know, that almost like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't really think this, but this is sort of how it feels, the metaphor of how it feels, that life is orchestrating it. Mm-hmm. And it's moving this person here and moving that person there. And, mm-hmm. and if any ego comes in to do that, there's just a flip.
Yeah.
Flip. And it's not quite the same flow.
Yeah, that's a good description of the calibration that you were just talking mm-hmm. about. Those places, I mean, I love that. We can just practice that calibration to thy will be done in any place and really getting it on an energetic level. I love that image of dancing and there's like a falter.
Yeah, and it's all right.
It's fine.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
No.
And I don't have to come in to now fix it and be something that's going to fix it.
Right, that'd be another falter potentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I stepped on someone's toe. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Move on.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Fun.
I know. Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, often in the fall, I just noticed there's this natural process of sort of things coming together and looking at the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at it would be fun to have sort of a year of that intention of just, I guess it's a year of, it's a year of just truly calibrating to that little tiny thing. Just yes to this, yes to this, yes to this, and not let... You know, practicing, mm-hmm. not having that better idea come into,
right.
you know.
It's a good example of what you mean.
Even on the micro level and on the macro level.
Yeah.
And I'm just really receiving what life offers instead of having my better idea.
mm-hmm. Yeah, what a great, well, and you're already well into that practice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I love that. It's a good example, too, of when we talk about having better ideas.
Exactly.
You know, again, it takes a lot of practice to see it at this subtlety that you are. And we know that place mm-hmm. energetically, as you're describing, mm-hmm. of there's something that presents itself, mm-hmm. and then there's a no.
Yeah.
There's a resistance.
Yeah.
That's the better idea, but I want to do this.
Yeah.
But this is what's being offered.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to go dry the dishes now, even. No, what presented to me was to wash the dishes, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm gonna wipe down the counters when there are still dishes to be done.
Yeah.
Huh. Where is that coming from?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just stuff like, or when you just said that, what was it that you said? I don't know, it just went through. I lost it, but anyway, just that, oh, I know what it was. When there's that no, what I just saw when you said that was, and I think what's possible, when I say it, is to dance with the no.
Uh-huh.
To dance through the no?
Yeah, just twirl around it.
Right? Exactly. Sort of, because if I go at the no,
yeah.
I'm going to have to be an I who's going to go at the no.
There's another falter.
Right?
Exactly. Which is so helpful, actually.
Yeah.
We just know energetically that's not it. It just reminds me, too, of what I was saying, just about the simplicity mm-hmm. of just being present. You know, there's a similar simplicity, just... It's being presented to us. Our job is simply to say yes. I mean, to calibrate to what that presentation may look and feel like, but to simply say yes and to really know the difference between, you're hearing that earlier as well, about that bump, you know, we're in the duality or we're in a, I have a better idea or I'm going to be in control is essentially the.
Yeah, I was hearing that too in the very first conversation, that place of, you know, knowing. That's what's so helpful about knowing ego's game.
Yeah,
is super helpful. We know that no is going to come up, right? So if we can know the no is going to come up and be the way I often like to play with it is to play with it, then there's a way that feels like it supports the human through it, you know, because it feels like, so if we were to look at it from like, you know, a little kid stance, so instead of me going straight at the little kid with the no, you know, I'm sort of on that little kid's side. And we're the no's over there, and we recognize that that's not us.
Yes.
You know, together we're going to dance around the no,
yeah.
and we're going to go like, you know,
yeah.
take the ha-ha out, because that's the next thing to do. Let's go do it. And together, we're going to stick it to the voice, you know, instead of kind of like, no, come on, don't be that way. You know that you're ha-ha, da-da-da-da, you know.
There you go, listening to the no again.
Listening to the no again, and kind of selfish you are, and,
right.
You know, you're so willful, and I mean, it's such a stupid thing. Why are you, but you know, and it's like, well, you know what? I would say no, too, if I were being treated that way. You know, if someone were throwing a bunch of arbitrary rules at me,
absolutely.
God knows, I spent an entire childhood doing that. Okay, really? Well, let me show, I'll show you. You want resistance? I'll show you resistance. You know,
kind of that image, too, though, the other thing, too, because that place of, you know, getting locked into that no,
yeah.
We can all, you know, and boy, I mean, at least for me, just actually tangibly dancing when you're
locked,
so that sliding over with the kid, when we talk about it with partners or with teams or whatever, and looking at it together, you know, oh, should we do the samba out of this clutch? You want to do a little hip hop? Like,
that's the advantage of taking out the trash, because once you get behind that fence, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's a little finger.
You can just dance it out. Exactly. Yeah. Internal.
Right, internal. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jim.
What I'm looking at is that I live alone. I'm a crowd of one. If I don't want to, I don't feel like it raises its head. There are the only consequences that I can see are right here. And I've been sitting here watching what Ego then has to say about this. Which is, you should, I don't know, get somebody to live with, or come live at a monastery or something.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I think the direction is, this is a life that is being lived.
And this is the life being lived.
And, work with that.
Yeah, well, the classic ego.
Very grateful for all the things in it, all the support, all the love, all the living gratitude, and work with the 47 times a day, I don't like it, comes up. Just be there present, be present to this life.
Just be present to this life. And what I hear you saying is, I mean, when we talk about living with other people, essentially what I hear is their mirrors. You know, and so what I hear you saying is, well, there's lots of mirrors in my life. If I look at all the support, all the things that are going on, all the practice, the people that I do interact with, that's the life being lived. You know, it's such an ego tactic to go into a content fix, you know, when we just, you know, move some people in with you, and then therefore that'll missing the process that I think you're talking about.
Yeah.
About coming to what we were talking about at the beginning, coming back and being present with what is here.
Yes. Yeah. There are two things that go on. One is, of course, not only do I not try hard enough to be the right person, I just relax into being the wrong person, which is really wrong.
Yeah. And that's really relaxing, that whole process, isn't it?
So that's one thing. The other thing is, so much of I don't feel like it does come up around things that that need to be taken care of, things that have to do, just simple stuff. And the place that I don't know if it's true or not that comes up for me is, I don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. Uh-huh. I don't know why. What do I do then? Where Did I pick this up? Because it doesn't belong here in the middle of the table. Where is it? I have no idea where to put this thing.
We all put it right there.
It's kind of an important thing. And I know from experience that if I choose some arbitrary place to put it, when I need it, I'm not going to know where it is.
So then we get kind of stuck there.
And get stuck there every day.
Yeah, gosh. But so there's this, I don't want to, I don't
want to. And so what I just...
Keep going.
Right, and so what I just saw is, that's the thing to work with. Mm-hmm. Not just work with that thing. Mm-hmm. It's the putting, picking that thing up and putting it somewhere because that's what you should do. It shouldn't be in the middle of the table. It should be in a closet or a drawer, whatever. That's not the important part.
That's not the important
that's
thing.
Not important.
It wants us to get like, but it's got to go to the dead, and I don't know where the right place, and then we can kind of get lost in that process. But getting that's not the important thing.
It's to be present. It doesn't have very good organization skills, perhaps.
Could use some assistance.
Or whatever it is.
Could use some assistance. I don't actually know what to do
with
this thing.
I live alone. I have no assistance. internal, I suppose. But I think that's what I'm. I think that's what's here right now. You know, it always makes me cry. The quote attributed to the Buddha, when you finally see how perfect everything is, you will tilt your head back and laugh at the sky. You know?
Uh-huh.
And
which if you can see, you have that view, that juxtaposition of if you would, I mean, I project what you're saying is if we could just get this thing and I get the list and I didn't have this resistance. And then there's that movement of seeing how perfect everything is.
Well,
how it is.
Maybe. I mean, I see that I live the moments.
Yeah, well, I mean, your exact quote came to you. Yeah. So.
And yeah, being present to this life. Is immediately taken by ego and said, here is a picture of what that means. Here's who you will be.
Who you will be, so taking us out of the present.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. These are the things you will do instead of the things you do now. Because it's how you'll be instead of how you are now. And I think maybe not.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's all perfect just as it is. And this is what there is to do in this life. This is what there is to practice within this life.
Wow, what a great response to what I project as seducing for all of us. You know, we just do this and you practice and then this is how it will be, this is how you'll feel, this is what it'll be like. And to go, I project again, because we've been down that road so many times, I think not what's perfect is being here right now. That kind of ends that train taking off, huh? Yes. And I love the image, too, of that bowl. We get to be there for every little moment of the person with the bowl and what to do, you know. I just imagine the 2-minute recording. I don't know where this thing goes, you know.
It's my house. It's my bowl. I could put it anywhere.
I could put it anywhere.
I got it right where it is. I can see it. I need it. There it is. Forget. I have to go look for it.
Yeah, and that comes from that identified place. It's my house. I can put it wherever I like. And I can move it tomorrow or in an hour. But right now, it's just right here.
And yes, I don't know what else to do with it.
And
the truth is, I don't want to do anything else with it.
Well, that's good to get in touch with. Yeah, truth is, I don't want to do anything else with it. That's not your agenda, we could say. To
Yeah, and then just what just occurred is, I think it would be interesting to watch if the metaphorical bowl, not being where it should be, whether when that do something about this triggers, is that a setup just to thwart me, just to
distract you,
distract me, or
preoccupy you?
Yeah. Because it happened a whole lot. So
yeah.
That's a clue.
Well, we all, we can all relate to that. And then it's sort of like we get to that place about, wait a second, I don't actually care. And all I want to do is be right here. What a great recording. You know, as you said, I'm curious to see if that'll start to trigger, maybe this is a setup. Maybe, do I really care? What do I care about? Well, I just want to be here, however the life is, not in the conversation about some other life in the, You know, there's that recording, we're listening to it every day, and we're looking to see, where is that process showing up? Because obviously you're seeing it and you're catching on to it.
Okay. To end recording.
I love that. I mean, that just can apply to anything, anytime. Yeah. Your turn. 2 more minutes. Thank you all.